Rewind it back to the days of chillaxing on the beach and all-day fun with spring break on DraftKings Casino. Play exclusive games like Fan Fave Rocket. The excitement is endless, the vibes are right, and the cash prizes could be huge. New players start playing with just $5 and get 100 back instantly in casino credits. Download the app and use code COLLEGEDRAFT to book your one-way ticket to fun with DraftKings Casino. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Ross Tucker break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Daddy Soda Time here on the College Draft Podcast, presented, of course, as always, by DraftKings. I'm your boy, Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, 5 teams, 7 years. You know this. Those of you that check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL, or social media, at RossTuckerNFL, at RossTuckerPod. You can see the helmets and the game balls and stuff from the teams I played for a long time ago now, 15 years since I retired. Unbelievable. Anyway, speaking of unbelievable, my guy, Emory Hunt, went 4-0 in his college football picks last week. 4-0. I tell you, you need to listen or watch this show. This is why I tell you, because Emory is out here just giving away money to those of you that watch or listen to the College Draft Podcast. Emory, of course, the great Emory Hunt. You can check him out on social media at FBall Game Plan on Twitter, Football Game Plan on YouTube, footballgameplan.com/2024 draft guide. As a reminder, this show is really 3 shows for the price of 1, price being nothing, by the way, but for the price of 1 being, we're going to go over the biggest college games each week. We're going to give you Emory's picks against the spread in the biggest college games every week. And we're going to highlight some of the NFL prospects that you need to be looking at. Before we look forward, Emory, we need to look back. You were 4-0. You took Miami in the points against A&M. They won outright. You took Texas and the points. They won outright. You took Colorado laying 3. They smashed the Cornhuskers. You took Washington State getting 4 points. They won outright. Emory, I've never seen someone have a college football weekend like you just had. Take a bow, my friend. Take a bow. That was impressive.
You know, Ross, man, it's hard being great. You know, I start to feel like it's a deterrent now where you just constantly win and people always want to either be silent or they want to knock you. Because if we extrapolate that 4-0 here on this show, 7-1 in college football on CBS Sports HQ, 2-2 in the CFL as well, which now I'm 34-22 overall on the season. So when you think about all of this, oh, and I went 4-2 on my NFL picks on CBS Sports HQ as well. So that's a lot of winning, Ross. And so for me, when you constantly win and you constantly try to promote, people will say, oh, you're being arrogant. Nah, I'm just reporting the news. I'm reporting the facts. And the facts of the matter is, you need to lock in with the Ross Tucker College Football Podcast and all of his shows. You need to lock in with everything that I'm on CBS Sports HQ. You just follow both of us because we always just walk around just exuding success. Ross calling NFL games on CBS. I'm out here calling ridiculous college football games at different levels where you have fantastic finishes. This is all about success here on this show, Ross. I'm ready for week number 3.
I feel like all I can hear in my head is that song, and I never know the names of, like, who sings it, but all I do is win, no matter what.
That's all it is, Ross. That's all. And, oh, and by the way, I also was able to fit in some time this past weekend amongst all those winnings to go scout some college football games. I was at Stony Brook in Rhode Island on Friday night after I left CBS Sports HQ studio on Thursday night. So we stay busy over here, Ross.
Okay, so I got a lot of questions for you. So, first of all, I think one of my themes, and maybe this is one of my themes the first couple weeks of the season, Emery, is I think there's a lot of good quarterbacks. I mean, even the guys that aren't like Drake May and Caleb Williams, or even like Bo Nix. I mean, like the J.J. McCarthy kid from Michigan's good. For Quinn Ewers to do what he did in Alabama, I mean, how about your boy Van Dyke at Miami? And Shedeur Sanders, listen, he was getting rocked by that Nebraska defense. They had good coverage. The D-line was getting to him, but he remained unfazed. I got to say, Emery, this might be the most good quarterbacks I can ever remember where you have like guys that aren't considered top 10 quarterbacks or top 10 quarterback prospects that are going out there and just putting up ridiculous numbers.
Let's also stretch that list out too and add Cam Ward. We've seen him now 2 years at Washington State beat Wisconsin. We can even talk about how well Spencer Rattler played, not only in the opener against North Carolina, but how well he played last weekend. And he still has that elite level arm talent. So yeah, you're right. There's a lot of good quarterbacks, which I'm always willing to point out that it's okay to take a quarterback outside the first round. It's just about making sure you get a guy that you feel like you could win games with. And if you have a shot with, and so whether that's in the first round, second round, whatever, you know, just make sure you get a good quarterback. And it's going to be fascinating to consider which quarterbacks are going to come out, because we know now with the NIL deals and this bonus year that keeps floating around, that keeps getting kicked down the curb, and also now with guys that are just straight up juniors that have another year, who all is going to be eligible to come out? We'd never talk about how good KJ Jefferson plays for Arkansas. He's another one that tends to get forgotten about.
Wait, so, hold on a second. Is he still there?
He is still there, man. Still there. Frank Harris is still there at UTSA.
No, like I saw that. There is no way. Frank Harris, there is no way. I mean, Emery, Frank Harris's
years.
Son is on the team with him.
I mean. I'll give you another one. I didn't realize this guy was still on the team until after leading into week 0. Darren Granger, who I really like out of Georgia State, I have a full scout report on him in the 2023 draft guide. I was like, wait, he had an extra year, he came back? He's back. And even if you want to dip your toe in the FCS level, Matthew Sluka of Holy Cross nearly pulls off the upset against Boston College. He's another guy that's a senior, but also has another year probably. So there's a ton of good quarterbacks. I'm excited to see how this thing will all play out. Who's going to be a senior? Who's going to go to the Shrine or Senior Bowl? You know, if they're eligible. I think this is a great year if you want to upgrade your QB1 or strengthen your QB2 with the pathway to QB1, kind of like a Sam Howell. You know, there's a lot to like about this quarterback group, man. It's a fun year to need one.
I'll say this, too. Speaking of your, Sluka, and I saw your tweet about this, at F-Ball Game Plan. There's no way Bob Chesney's back at Holy Cross next year. Oh. I mean, Boston College should hire him. Like, I mean, it's unbelievable how good of a coach he is. Holy cross in the Patriot League, almost taking down Boston College in the ACC Power Five. That is nuts, Emery.
You go back and watch him coach at Assumption College, where Deontay Hardy came from, and he was dominant at the Division II level at Assumption, got the call up to go coach at Holy Cross, has been dominant there. I think they've won three consecutive Patriot League titles, which hadn't been done by any team in the Patriot League, I don't believe. So, and is probably well on his way to his fourth. So he's done a fantastic job at Holy Cross. And it's been fun to watch how Colgate has gone through their run. Georgetown is off to a 2-0 start. We've seen Lehigh under Coach Cohen doing their thing. And now we're seeing, you know, Coach Chesney, who not only had his team disciplined, ready to go, but had them fighting through the end of that game. I think what really hurt them was that rain delay, because they were going to get that punt back. Then all of a sudden the skies open. They had a 1:30 left in the fourth quarter as they were receiving the punt. Then the lightning strike hits, and now you have an hour delay, a rain delay. So by the time they get back out there, you lose a little bit of that momentum that you built up. But you're right. He's a fantastic coach, and that's why I tweet out, they have to do whatever is possible to keep him, whether that's, you know, giving him part ownership of the school or FBS. Do what you have to do to keep him in Worcester. I think that's how you pronounce it.
No. Worcester.
Worcester. Right. Fit and feel right off the highway. I've been to Holy Cross a couple times. Even interviewed Coach Chesney, I want to say in 2019. Great dude. A lot of energy. He's the Sean McVay of college coaches. Like, you can't help but feel a part of the program when you're talking with him for even just 2 minutes and just excited about what he's building at Holy Cross.
Well, in football, the fourth quarter is where the magic happens. Unfortunately, Holy Cross wasn't able to get done. It's where games are won, where champions are made. And in business, it's where sales teams become legends. That's why HubSpot built Sales Hub, to give sales reps the deal-making tools they need to win their Q4. Sales Hub's prospecting workspace organizes your schedule, goals, and to-do list in one place to save your team precious fourth quarter time. And smart sequences help sales reps close deals faster than ever. So get ready to dominate Q4 with Sales Hub. Learn more at HubSpot.com/sales.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, Emery. Any other themes, any other big takeaways from last week in college football? Things that jumped out to you? Obviously, the Colorado thing is still a big deal. I don't know if there's something from a scouting perspective, you know, with Travis Hunter. And then the Bama thing, man, I don't know. I don't know. They got a lot of young guys playing. And like, we've gotten so used to Alabama just always still being good. But I don't know, Emery, you lose the first and third picks in the draft, and you have true freshmen starting all over the place and a new quarterback. Like, it would almost be weird if you didn't lose, like, an early season game or struggle early season.
Right. And the crazy part is, man, when you think about Bama, and I had this, obviously you don't want to tweet this out during the game because you'd be in your whole mentions defending and mad Bama fans and all that. But we used to come into a season knowing who the Bama running back was, knowing who at least one elite receiver was, knowing who's a dominant defender outside within the front seven. You know, right now the dominant player is Kool-Aid McKinstry, and Bama just doesn't have that same type of team coming into the season. This is a retooling year. They're good, but they don't have the great player. You know what I mean? I think that's what happened versus Texas. You saw Texas have better wide receivers. You saw Texas have the better tight end. You saw Texas have the better quarterback. And that's not what we're used to seeing from Alabama. Will they get there? Probably so. We'll see. But they do have enough time to really get it together. And this is, I think this may be a 9-3 Bama team. You know what I mean? And so it's tough to see this happen because we could see it happen a little bit with Ohio State when they go through that retooling. Obviously, McCord is not the same caliber of quarterback that we've seen from them the last, four quarterbacks, and it's still early to even say that, but just from initial viewing, it's like, okay, they're going to have to win differently this year than they've won in the past. And so that's going to that happens in college football. We see it all the time. I also feel like, once again, no one's talking about Penn State. They went out there and really ran their way to dominance. Yes, they played Delaware, who was a very good FCS program. They should be FBS.
Delaware is way better than people realize.
Right. Delaware.
Way better. Like, people go, oh, it's Delaware. And they shouldn't even play a school like that.
Delaware's FBS. They're coming. You seen what they've been building on campus? They are legit building up toward a Conference USA or an American Athletic invite. They got the facilities now are insane. So, but Penn State, imagine all you're needing is your run game just to win a game against a very good FCS opponent. Drew Aller was efficient, still had a good day, and their defense was dominant. So this is the year we can see two Big Ten teams, your Pac-12 team, a Big 12 team, all vying for the playoff, and that one is only going to be one SEC team, whoever wins the SEC championship. I think that's what we'll see.
Well, what you'll see for me this weekend is watching these games and eating some DoorDash. I mean, listen, if you're feeling good about your fantasy football team but not sure what to eat, make it easy on yourself. Order in on DoorDash. Now you can root for your squad while your food and drinks are on the way. Yep, that means burgers, chips, dips, soda, pizza, wings, and so much more delivered straight to your door. All right, Emery, let's look ahead now a little bit. You're right, though, man. I can't believe that you took three underdogs and they all won outright. Like, that is very, 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 very hard to do. Very hard to do. Kudos to you. We were talking about Colorado earlier. They got the rivalry game at Colorado State, and the Buffaloes are laying 23.5. Who are you going with on this one, and what are you be looking at?
Well, obviously, I'm laying these points with Colorado. But there's no way Colorado has a letdown against Colorado State. There's a lot of the same factors going into this game that went into that Nebraska game. Let me backtrack a little bit. This was funny because I tweeted out, I think our guy George Foster tweeted out in commenting on the 900 media credentials that they issued out for the Nebraska-Colorado game. It's like, he was like, how is this even logically or logistically possible? And so I quote tweeted him and was like, expect to see all kind of random celebrities at the game, like Wesley Snipes standing next to Kool G Rap, standing next to Jesse Spano, right? Just random people at the game. So then at the game, you see on the sideline, they panning, the sideline or whatnot, Wu-Tang at the game. What? how does that even happen, right? So this game, you got rivalry game. Colorado State was always a big game. They used to play this game in at Invesco Field in Denver because it was such a big rivalry. You got the whole Coach Prime thing. They're good. They're undefeated. They're ranked in the top 20. They're going to crush Colorado State. So lay the points. But when we're talking about Shedeur Sanders, first of all, when you think about Colorado and why they are having success, and this is something that a lot of coaching, great coaching staffs do, and I don't think Deion Sanders is getting enough credit for, is the ability to make adjustments. What were we talking about after the TCU game? Man, if TCU just ran the football, they would have won. And next thing you know, everybody was talking about, well, Nebraska just has to run the ball against Colorado. Well, they tried, but Colorado made adjustments. They swapped out starting linebackers. They switched some things up on the defensive front. The run game was a lot better in defending the run than it was against TCU. So the ability to quickly make adjustments, hey, man, it's not working. Let's figure out what's going on, and let's switch it up. Boom, they did that. And so when you have that, I guess you can call it humbleness or ability to self-scout and be self-aware as a team, you're going to always be on the plus side of win. So I think they do a good job of that. They did that at Jackson State. And with Coach Ramey, though, it was a different staff, but they used to always, like, understand who they are and what they have and what they need to be better at, and they make those adjustments quickly. They're not married to the same thing and hoping it's going to work. And also, the thing about Shedeur Sanders is the fact that when you're watching him throw the football is how great he is at protecting the ball. Not one of his passes are almost intercepted. Like, he does a fantastic job of keeping the ball protected, protecting the receiver, protecting the possession, which is why they tend to have a lot of plus drives. I know they punted often in that game against Nebraska. Some things didn't go their way, but it wasn't like they were throwing, he was throwing bad passes or putting the ball in harm's way. That's an elite level trait to have as a quarterback. That's why I'm always excited to watch him play, because he does play the game like a savvy NFL veteran.
Yeah, I mean, and so I want to make sure I understand that. I think it's right. But Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter were both true freshmen at Jackson State last year?
They were true sophomores. Well, Hunter was a true freshman. Shedeur was a true sophomore. Shedeur played in the 2021 season as a true freshman.
Oh, so he could leave after this year, theoretically.
Correct.
Okay.
He's a junior.
But Hunter can't.
Right.
Okay. I thought they were the same year for some reason.
Mm-mm.
All right. Georgia is taking on South Carolina. This is actually pretty unbelievable when you think about it. But Georgia favored by 27 points. I mean, Emery, this is a conference game against a team that was pretty darn good last year. At the end of the year, was knocking off everybody they played. Clemson, Tennessee. Is Georgia really that much better than everybody, including South Carolina?
Georgia is better up front than South Carolina in that capacity, on O-line and D-line. We saw the O-line for South Carolina have a significant issue against North Carolina's defensive front that was getting in the face of Spencer Rattler. Now, I do feel like South Carolina has the best quarterback in this game. I think Spencer Rattler is better than Carson Beck. But if you can't protect Spencer Rattler, it kind of makes it even itself. It makes it, you know, even out. So 27 and a half points, I don't see. I'm taking South Carolina in the points. What I'm more fascinated with it within this game is, because this is usually a tell-all game, because there's usually some top-tier pro prospects on both sides that play each other. I remember watching it when I was a high school recruit, and you had Zola Davis for South Carolina taking on Champ Bailey, you know, the dual threat, everything at Georgia. And so you had Boo Williams, you know, running the football for, you know, South Carolina, and Anthony Wright playing quarterback. And, you know, you had all these good stars, Landis, Gary, and everybody on Georgia's side and, you know, doing their thing too. So it's always a good game for talent, from a talent perspective. But in this game, because I feel like they have the best quarterback, South Carolina, they'll keep this one under that number. So I'm going to take them in the points.
All right. And then the other game I wanted to get into with you, San Diego State is at Oregon State. Oregon State's laying 23.5. Another big spread in this game. Not a lot of respect for the Brady bunch, Brady Hoax boys.
Right, especially with how well they swarm to the football and how solid they tend to play up front along the line of scrimmage. The under is definitely in play here, too, because of the type of offenses both run. We saw Oregon
State. Total's 46.5, by the way. 46.5.
Right. So when you think about Oregon State in their run game and San Diego State and how they can control the game with their quarterback, Jalen Maiden, who's a very good quarterback, another guy that's on these list of, you know, solid quarterback, you know, day three type guy. But when you think about how well Uiagalelei is playing, you know, behind that very good offensive line of Oregon State, I can see Oregon State, this being a late cover, but you always worry about the back door with San Diego State. I don't think, you know, Oregon State is as explosive with the big play like a UCLA was. So I can lay these big points with Oregon State. I'll sweat it out, but I'll trust Oregon State's ability to really control and grind it out and kind of build on a few possessions to really help bring this cover home.
What do you think of DJ Uiagalelei as a pro prospect?
We even forgot to mention Joe Milton too in the quarterbacks that we listed. Another guy, right?
But no, there's a million. There's a million we didn't list.
And so Uiagalelei is, I think he's, you know, more of the old school prototype, kind of like that, you know, big body quarterback, play action, you know, get the ball out off of play action. He kind of, his game is not like a one-to-one, Ross, and his game just kind of reminds me of like how he rolls out, how he throws the ball, kind of like Tony Banks. Remember Tony Banks?
Yeah. By the way, Emery, if you want to go to the game right now, you can still get tickets, $23. That's lower end zone, by the way. Lower level end zone on the Game Time app. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code DRAFT for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. So again, create an account, redeem code DRAFT for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. I absolutely love the Game Time app. You get $20 off and you can be lower level end zone for $23. $3. $3 to watch DJ, who he's still a little flat-footed, Emery, at times. For my liking, it's almost like Oregon State's offensive line is giving him like a false sense of comfort. But we'll see what happens when they start playing some better teams. Other than that, the keg is kicked. We're all tapped out.
Thanks for tuning in to College Draft. Make sure to also check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and Fantasy Feast, all on the DraftKings Network on Samsung TV Plus, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.